Welcome to Simple Life Radio, stories for the adventurous at heart. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez, and you're listening to Radio Monterey, either on your radio or car radio. Perhaps you're even live streaming it using TuneIn or the live feed from the website monterey.com. Welcome. We're glad to have you. Each week, we interview folks with a story, something that they've experienced that they can share their perspective on, their simple life. Our guest last week, Valerie Lumley, local author and professional opera singer, shared her story of recovery from chronic fibromyalgia using alternative healing. And by the way, she will be at the bookstore, Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore, on Saturday, March 22nd from 1 to 3. If you want to meet her, take a look at her book, which is titled Curing Chronic Fibromyalgia. Well, today we have a local who has been working in the alternative healing field for a number of years. His name, Wayne Hoff. Welcome, Wayne.
Thank you.
It's good to have you in the studio. You know, I know you from your alternative healing field, but I wonder if you'd share with our listeners what you did prior.
Well, I originally started out working in the computer field, and I was doing computer repair. It was back in the 70s, so that was the time when you actually took apart computers and everything was transistors and you put in new transistors and all that. So I was working in San Francisco repairing computers for bank companies. And I made a decision that I couldn't stay with this field anymore. I was tired of it. And I went back to school and I was going to be a English teacher. So I went to Berkeley, got a degree, but I never did get my teaching credential. And what I did is I took the English degree and my computer skills, and I got into a field at that time which was new, which was called technical writing. And I started writing computer manuals for various computer companies.
So from that, how did you get interested in alternative healing?
I did that for quite a few years. I was working for Nicolet Computer Graphics. I was a department manager by that time. And I ended up in a car accident. I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. And I went through the windshield.
Oh my gosh.
And I ended up with migraine headaches. What happened was is I couldn't drink anymore. I couldn't do all the fun things I used to do anymore. And I had migraines. And as people know that have migraines, modern medicine does not deal with migraines very well. I mean, they don't have any idea how to cure them or how to, you know, cure the pain. And so at a certain point, I was driving. Sometimes I'd have to pull over because of the migraines, and I'd have to sit for an hour or so before I could get going. And one time I was driving, this was in the Bay Area, I had to pull over because I had a migraine. This was on the freeway. And I put a blanket over the top of my head. And within about 15 minutes, I had all of a sudden heard outside, you know, get out, put your hands on the car. And I was surrounded by police. They thought I had robbed something. I don't know what it was. And so I was out there with this pounding headache trying to talk to these people. And the doctors realized that I couldn't drive or anything, so they were saying that you're just going to be on permanent disability.
Oh my gosh.
So I was 32 at the time, and that looked pretty bleak to me. And somebody, and I'm not even sure who it is, but somebody told me about cranial sacral work, and
yeah.
It was new at the time. There was one practitioner in Berkeley that was doing it. He was a Rolfer, and he happened to be one of Ida Rolf's original people. So there was 12 of them that actually trained with Ida Rolf and became the trainers out there. I called him up. He was looking for people with headaches, so he got me in. He worked on me, and in 3 sessions, he cured it. And then he said, well, you've got spinal problems. You know, I have I had bad scoliosis. I had a number of things, and he fixed everything. It was when I left his office, you know, the final time, I just said, you know, that's it for regular medicine. And my brothers are doctors, their wives are doctors, my father's a doctor. I came from a total medical family.
That's amazing.
And I've never gone to a doctor since.
Oh my gosh. You know, as long as I've known you, I've never known that about you.
Yeah.
That is so fascinating. So tell us what kind of healing work that you do.
So I, after that, I was in San Francisco, and at that time, the New Age movement was exploding in San Francisco. It was the 80s. A lot of things were exploding there. But I ended up training with a lot of different energy healers. I trained with a Philippine psychic surgeon, Joseph Martinez. I trained with a lot of people. And I tried at various times to do my, you know, to quit and work as a alternative healer. It just never worked out. I just wasn't able to make it work for me. And so I continued to work in the Silicon Valley, writing computer manuals, you know, as a contract person so I could do it at my own time. And then trying to do this other work on the side. But about 8 years ago, 8 or 10 years ago, I just made this decision to, I'd had enough of the Silicon Valley, and I'm been doing it full time ever since.
Wow. Now, I met you because a friend of both of ours recommended that I might want to see you. And I think you know that I'm a trained massage practitioner. I used to teach certified massage. So I recognize your work in terms of the massage element that you have, although you've modified it a great amount. You seem to understand and listen really intently, you know, when I shared what my situation was. And actually, I remember that you offered a lot of insight, like, immediately. And I was really impressed that you were in tune. And then there's a lot of work that you do that I really have no reference point at all, that as well as I can describe it to our listeners today is just a methodology of helping me connect with more of my inner self and not so much with the outer world, which was really, really helpful. And it made a huge difference. I wanted to ask you, though, Wayne, you speak on your website, which, by the way, for our listeners, Wayne Hoff's website, biospiritus.net, don't go .com, I did that, that's a mistake. So it's biospiritus.net. And on that website, you talk about the body's intelligence, and you compare it to the intelligence of the mind. Can you speak about that a little bit?
Well, what I work with is an energy model. So I'm not just working with the physical body. And as a massage therapist, you know that. You know, you can massage the muscles, but there's an energetic component that's there. Mm-hmm. And just taking the body as a physical, as just physical, it's not going to work. It doesn't respond. But if you bring in energy, if you bring in your heart, if you bring in, you know, whatever energy that you're going to bring in there, the body will respond to that. It doesn't respond to you talking to it. It responds to your energy. And so when I'm working with somebody, what I'm working with is all of the energy field. So I have the body. I have what we call an etheric body, which is the, you know, the place where all of our chakras, our acupuncture meridians, all of that, they're very much right in the body. And then there's an energetic body around you, you know, which people just have different names. It's commonly called astral or mental body or whatever.
Is that what people call an aura?
Yeah, an aura.
Okay.
That would be part of the aura. So I'm working with all of that. So when somebody's, like you said, you know, you were talking to me, what I'm doing is I'm watching all of that. Mm-hmm. So I can sense that or see that, you know, I can see what's going on. So when you say something, like you say, well, there's somebody that bothers me. I'm watching what's going on with you. I'm watching actually what you physically do. You may tighten up. You may, you know, sort of scrunch, cross your legs, do something that is like very defensive. Or I may just see your energy field just collapse.
Shrink,
or
yeah.
I may see all kinds of things that are going on. And watching that, what I do is I feed that back to you in ways of like letting you know, wow, when that happened, this happened. You know, when you talked about this, you know, can you explain more about it? You may have an idea that this is the problem, but there was no energetic reaction to that.
Interesting.
But there may have been to something else. Mm. And so I sort of probe, I look for what's going on? What's, you know, how are you responding to things? Because the body is very truthful. our minds can make up all kinds of things. Our minds make up the stories, but the stories aren't what the reality is. It's the story we put around it. That's how we connect everything up and make it, you know, sensible to us. But the body is just responding. That's all.
So what you're speaking about reminds me of something that was really big a long time ago, biofeedback. So you'd like hook yourself up to some kind of a machine that could measure your impulses, and then you'd be taken through a line of questions. And through the analysis of how you answer those questions, you'd be described in terms of your personality or maybe strengths or weaknesses. Again, it's just really connected into the body rather than going through all the filtering system of what you think you believe or what you're supposed to believe socially or how you're supposed to respond. Dealing directly with the body's energy response, you're getting absolute feedback.
Right.
And not the filtering so much.
Right. It's truthful. And see, the person that's sitting there most of the time has just ignored their body. Whereas for me, I have an ability, let's say. I just have an ability to sense the body. I've always had that. I've always been able to sense what people are feeling, emotions that people have. When I was a kid, I was in a community. It was more of a European community, and we'd shake hands all the time. Every time I met somebody, I'd shake hands. When I shook hands with somebody, I could tell what was going on with them.
Oh, wow.
And I thought everybody could tell that until I realized that people couldn't. But a lot of the people that I work with, they have those kinds of sensitivities. They may not have that particular sensitivity, but they have other sensitivities.
Mm-hmm.
And so by being able to, see that in a person, some person may think that, oh, I'm too sensitive and that's my problem. I don't see that. You know, what I see is somebody that has an ability to sense things better than other people.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happened is it's actually become a detriment to them rather than a benefit to them. And rather than shutting down that sensitivity, it's getting to be able to use that sensitivity to work for them. So giving them better boundaries, getting them away so that the sensitivity isn't overloading them with things.
Right.
So those are the kinds of things that show up and the kinds of things that I work with. So.
Well, we're going to be taking a break in a couple of minutes here. If you are just joining us, our guest today, Wayne Hoff, is an alternative healing practitioner. And he is in Monterey. So if you want more information on him, check out his website, biospiritus.net. And I'll have him say his number again later. Also, to let you know, this particular show is going to be made into a podcast. The archive are available as podcasts. And you can always go to the Pilgrim's Way website. That's pilgrimsway.com. Click on the Simple Life Radio tab, or you can go to podbean.com and search for Simple Life Radio. I'm soon to get things up on iTunes right now. I'm in the works with that. So just to let you know, we're going to take that break. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez. This is Simple Life Radio. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to find out from Wayne more about stuck energies. Thanks for staying with us. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez. Our guest today, local Wayne Hoff, who works for himself as an alternative healer in the area here in Monterey. And before we went to break, Wayne, you were talking about listening to and actually being able to communicate with the actual body energies of the person that you're working with. And I wanted to ask you, also referencing to something I read on your website, biospiritus.net, that there are things that you refer to as stuck energies. And I wanted to know, how does a person realize or find out that they have stuck energy? And how do environments that any of us visit in our daily life influence our energies?
Okay, well, stuck energy can appear a number of different ways in the body. And a common thing is somebody may hurt their shoulder in a car accident or something like that, and they show up at my office, and it's been 5 years later, and their shoulder is still frozen, or their shoulder, they can't lift their their arm up or something. And that stuck energy because the body in 5 years has healed all the soft tissue, has healed all the anything that's gone on there. It's not a physical thing. What's going on there is that the energy is stuck from either the accident, the trauma, something, maybe a story they've built up from that or whatever. And so that's one stuck energy. And so even though everything is healed, the person still can't, you know, it's
they
still frozen.
They experience a limitation.
It's still in pain.
Yeah.
There will be things. And so that's one kind of stuck energy. Another stuck energy is, you know, somebody comes in and says, you know, I'm lifting weights and I, when I get to 200 pounds, you know, bench pressing 200 pounds or something, I can't go above that. If I go above that, I hurt myself. You know, I always hurt myself. There's just a limit there. And so that's another kind of stuck energy. That's again, there's no reason why the person can't keep going, but there's some sort of trauma connected with 200 pounds.
Interesting.
You know, maybe they had a breakup with their girlfriend at that time, or maybe they had something that was traumatic. Maybe they had a car accident at that time. So it gets stuck energetically. And so it's not just stuck in the body, it's stuck in their fields. And there's other stuck energies that are just emotional in the body. People will be, have, maybe somebody died in the family and they just can't get over it. Every time they think about them, they grieve. Every time they think, you know, I'm, you know, they just start bawling. I had that recently. And what that is they still have that person's energy in their field that died.
Mm.
So that's another form of stuck energy. They still have that locked into them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's also stuck energy in the environment. So people having come to their house, if there's something that doesn't feel right about the house, some person may have moved into a house and when they moved in, you know, they may be a couple. They move into an apartment together. They were getting along just fine. As soon as they moved in there, they started fighting.
Mm.
And then they talked to the neighbors and they found out that the people that were there before got a divorce. And they were fighting all the time. They're going, how did I get that? But they ended up getting the energy of the apartment, which is stuck into this anger energy that was there. They stepped into it and then it became part of their energy. So their environment stuck with energy and it affects their marriage. So if you clear the environment, all of a sudden they're back to, you know, neutral again.
Well, you know, listening to you describe different aspects of stuck energy, my mind's eye sort of went to looking at germs as an analogy, where you can be influenced if you go into a situation where someone's sick and they're coughing and sneezing, you're really impacted by those germs. And whether or not your immune system is strong or weak might determine whether or not you get sick. I'm sure there's other elements involved, but the influence of energy patterns that are left in the atmosphere of a particular environment, we might not be able to see.
Right.
But we have a different sense around their being there or not.
Right. And you'll make up a story because you'll make something up. Well, we moved in here and the rent was a little bit higher. So now we're fighting over finances. So you'll make up a story around it, but actually that's not the issue. And once the stuck energy is cleared, then you can come back to what is the issue? You know, what's really going on? And they realize actually they like the place. All of the stuck energy, even the frozen shoulder, you may come up with another story about it.
I see.
You know? Like the story is they keep going to doctors and the doctor says, oh, well, you've got blah-de-blah, blah, which is some sort of a label. It's this rare thing, but you've got this thing. And then they got a label and their mind can hang on to that. And they're never going to get to the source of it. Instead of saying, well, so what? I've got this. What's the cause of this? And maybe this is just one symptom of multiple things that are going on. I've got a frozen shoulder and I've got a bad marriage. They could be very well connected. Or I've got a frozen shoulder and it makes me difficult to drive, but I hate going to work anyway.
Right.
You know,
right.
There can be all kinds of things that go on. And so it's to clear that up and just get back to what the root cause of it is, and the body knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, our guest today, Wayne Hoff, from his business called BioSpiritus. He is here in Monterey. If you would like more information about Wayne, his website, biospiritus.net, or you can give him a call, 831-818-6980, and set up a time to speak with him. Well, that is really interesting, and it kind of makes my mind whirl thinking about all the possibilities that most of us, I mean, I don't think people generally consider that, you know, it's sort of out of mainstream, if you will. But I wonder, do you know, how does spending time in nature impact us? Does it help kind of balance and neutralize people, or get them more connected internally rather than externally?
Nature is actually compatible with the body. Our artificial environment isn't compatible with the body.
Oh.
We have electromagnetic radiation. We have fluorescent lights. We have noise. We have leaf blowers. There's different things in our environment. I mean, just toxins that are in our environment. So our bodies are already under stress. The electromagnetic frequencies of like the Wi-Fi, the cell phones are already stressing the body way beyond what they used to be. Last week I went down to Big Sur and went to the Hermitage down there and spent, you know, 2.5 days down there. There's no Wi-Fi, no cell phone reception, no anything down there. And my body just relaxed. Just the 2 days had an incredible effect on my body because I just wasn't bombarded with this stuff. And we don't recognize how stressed we are just from the environmental factors. And then you add in that maybe you're at a job you don't like, or maybe you're in a relationship you don't like, or maybe, you know, there's different things that could be out there that further emotionally stress you.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have the resources that we would if we were living in nature. And getting out, people going out and taking walks in nature, or every morning taking a 2-mile walk along the beach or doing something like that, is absolutely incredible because then the body gets to be back in its element. It fits with nature.
It kind of resets.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it feels. You know, when I think about the times that I have a few extra minutes, so I'll go down to a scenic drive along the ocean and just go for a walk and smell the sea air and hear the waves crashing. And, you know, I don't have to be doing any particular thing. And it just feels so much better.
Right.
And I really appreciate, Wayne, you're speaking about these things, because it strikes me how much in our culture we are dedicated and actually focused only on intellect.
Right.
And although we have intellect, it's important to have intellect. It really is only one of our senses. It's not, I don't think, well placed to be the only sense, or even the sense that is the dictator of all other activities.
Right. The intellect in our society has been trained to, since early childhood, has been programmed and trained not in a consistent way. It's like you have your parents, you have your friends around you, your neighborhood, you go to school, you have, maybe you go to church, or you go to do something else. All of those things impact you and program this intellectual part of you, but it's not consistent. It's everybody's telling you something different. You know, you can be observing your parents telling you don't lie, and then they get on the phone and they lie to, you know,
the
tax account, or just lie to somebody, say, oh, we're sick, we can't make it to the party or something. And then the kid just goes, well, what was that about?
Yeah.
You know, you just told me I can't lie, but you lie. And all of this stuff gets our intellect confused. And a lot of our culture, you know, Western culture, is set up to be dominant. You know, we want to dominate somebody. We got to win. We're actually going against somebody, or, you know, different things like that. I mean, depending on where we're at. And so we're programmed into a certain way, instead of when I work with people, I get into the body. And when I'm talking about the body, it's not just the physical. There's the spiritual body in you. And so you have your spirit, and what I call the soul part of you, and the soul part of you is actually the part that knows what you want to do. It actually knows what's right for you. It actually knows what's truth. It doesn't need somebody to say that they've been lying. They can feel it.
Mm.
It's that part of you, if it's active in you. There's some people it's not active in. You know, most people, it's an active place. And you can tell when you're on track, you know, when things are, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you can tell when you're doing meaningless activity. You can tell all of these things. And that's an internal thing. And so instead of, you know, what our society does is use our intellect, which has been programmed in all different ways. I mean, really, it hasn't been, you know, utilized at optimal level at all. And when I work with people, I get them to go inside, because inside of us, we have our spirit, we have our soul, we have our heart, that sacred heart that's in us. And that's the part that actually knows what we need to do. You know, you can have external ethics, some rules, but this is the internal part of you that knows what's right, knows when you're hurting somebody, knows when you're doing something wrong, but also know when you're doing something right, when it's actually really great and you're doing great and it's just energizing you and charging you. That's a soul thing that's going on. And for me, it's like getting back to that internal reference rather than trying to use our minds, which were programmed by these external forces.
Right. Yeah, I'm so glad that you explained that, because I don't think that that is something, again, that we're used to hearing very often. And it makes so much sense to me personally to have that kind of reference point for my own identity, I guess. I mean, that's how I feel when I'm with me, myself, and I.
Right.
And usually we have that kind of connection, a really deep quality connection, when there's been some sort of loss in our life, perhaps. Maybe you lose a loved one either through a change in relationship or through end of life. And it causes this whole sort of soul-searching awareness that ordinarily I think most of us don't have a connection with. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you're speaking to. And I so appreciate that. We're going to take another little break here in just a moment. So when we come back, we will have more great conversation with our guest today, Wayne Hoff of BioSpiritus in Monterey. If you do want to get a hold of Wayne, his website is biospiritus.net, or you can give him a call at 831-818-6980. Thank you. And for those of you listening, if you'd like to share this particular episode of Simple Life Radio, you're welcome to do that. All of our archives are made into podcasts and are available through the Pilgrim's Way website or podbean.com. Just type in Simple Life Radio, one word, and you'll have a number of different episodes to choose from. But you can link and forward to people that you'd like to share the episode with. When we come back, we are going to talk to Wayne a little bit more about the sorts of energies that sometimes scare people. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Simple Life Radio here. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez, and our guest today, Wayne Hoff. And I wanted to jump right into a really interesting aspect of energies, Wayne. You know, sometimes at the bookstore, Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden in downtown Carmel, people will come in and ask about, well, they always have a hard time spitting it out, if you know what I mean. They start out with hemming and hawing, and then when the story comes out, they've actually had encounters in their home with energies that they just don't know how to deal with, and it actually scares them. One story that I had years ago, older couple came in and asked about, you know, whether there were things that could, you know, energies that could hurt people. And then when the story came out, they had a home in a well-known area in Carmel Valley that they were renting. And the older couple that rented the house had lived there for a long time with no incident. And then odd things would happen, like, you know, the laundry soap wouldn't be where the laundry soap always was. And sometimes the can opener would be moved, or things like that would move throughout the house. It intensified in terms of frequency. And then while this older couple was asleep in their bed at night, there was a gas leak in the house. And the neighbors, like, really in a very strange way, an odd way, found out and saved them. They were carted off to the emergency room right away. And so there was a question about whether all those things were linked, and whether it was some energies in the house, whether it's a poltergeist or whatever, was causing a problem. And people really wanted to know what they could do about it. And that's why they came into the store, because they didn't know who to ask. Have you ever had that kind of encounter, or is that the sort of energies that you're experienced with?
You know, people can carry those kinds of energies with them, and then people will say they have attachments or whatever. I mean, or they may say possession, but that's not a real good term. That's sort of coming from the movies out there. It's, but you can be attached to somebody. So somebody dies and you end up somebody in your energetic field. And I just worked with that last night, a person whose grandfather died, and it just stayed with her, and she's been sick ever since.
Oh my.
And so there's things like that where you can have a personal attachment, and it's just, these aren't people that are trying to do something wrong. They're just stuck here. And so let me just back up. A lot of these energies out there are people that have died. They just haven't gone to the light.
Ah.
I mean, people will die, and instead of moving right away to the light, something may draw them back. Maybe there's some unfinished business, or they're worried about what their possessions, who's going to get their possessions.
Oh.
There can be all kinds of things that will actually draw a person back. And when a person gets drawn back, a lot of them can't find their way out of it. They're sort of stuck in a lower energy. So there's loads of them all over the place.
I've also heard that sometimes when people die, that they don't know they've died.
Correct. That's
they're just confused.
Right. You know, so they were in a car accident, and so one moment they're driving and next moment they're not. Sixth Sense was a real good movie about that. That was actually a very accurate movie. You just don't know. People are just wandering around. They'll actually do the same things. And so, like in The Sixth Sense, the guy ended up back at his home. He just kept going home, and it was affecting his widow now, but it was affecting his wife because of his energy being there, causing her pain, causing her suffering or whatever. So that's a very common thing. But people will move into a house, and there might be already an energy there that was from somebody else. Maybe somebody died. You know, they might not even died in the house, but that's the reason the Chinese don't buy a house if there's somebody died in there. I mean, that's the reason we have that law in California.
You have to be told if someone died in the house,
right? Because of that. But you can clear it. They just don't want to deal with it. But somebody can die. Let's say, you know, over at Chomp over here, but they were living in Pebble Beach and they liked their home, and so they died and they just went. And went back to home.
They go home.
They just go home. And so I've gone into houses there where the guy will just be sitting there. You know, you walk in there and the person just says, you know, this, you know, I can't sleep in this room. This room is just driving me crazy. I have to sleep outside here. Well, there's a guy sitting in there, you know, and it's, you know, and then if I bring it up, they'll go, oh, you know, I've been dreaming about this guy. I've been dreaming about this. You know, so they've been sensing it. And so it's then working with this, the ghost or the being that's there, and getting them to, you know that this is where they want to go. And most of them are ready to go once they realize they've died. As far as poltergeist things, like when things move around and all that, that's sort of a different thing. Those are usually spirits that know that they've died, and they want to interact with people. They want to do things. And sometimes they're just doing it to be problematic. Sometimes they're harassing people. Sometimes it can be any number of reasons, but it's true. I've watched things fly across the room. I watched all kinds of activities, and it's for real. It does happen.
One of my most significant memories of stories from you is when it rained inside the house.
Somebody I was called into, and there was it was at the time he was a young boy, and he had an opening. I mean, he had an ability to do things, and that's a common thing. Like, he was puberty, and a lot of times they have a lot of energy. He was watching TV, he's watching all this stuff, and he was just really bringing in a lot of energies, and it caused a lot of problems there. And in that house, I saw the biggest object fly that I had ever seen. A toaster went across the room and slammed against the wall. And, you know, usually it's small things, like a pencil will fly across or something like that. This kid was exceptional. And the thing I saw there, I've never seen any place else, is about, you know, 6 foot up in the kitchen, it started to rain. I was standing there and water started coming down. And the family said, this happens all the time. And it was water. It was there. I don't know how this kid did it. But it can be. I mean, those kinds of things can happen. And I see all kinds of odd things.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that, because having been in the bookstore so long now, about a dozen years or so, I notice that people come in and they're very sheepish because they have experiences. They don't understand. They don't know who to talk to. And they're afraid that if they speak up, people will just either lose respect for them or think they're crazy or somehow or other reject them and obviously not be in a position to help them. And I think we need more communication where we don't have judgments and we just pool our knowledge and experience together and help what needs to be helped.
Yeah, I agree. It's a lot of the people that come in are people that are actually sensitive. They can sense things, but all of their life they've just been closed down. They've been shut down. Nobody listens to them. A child may say something like, you know, I think grandma's sick, and then grandma gets sick and they go, don't tell anybody that you knew that. Don't tell anybody. Yeah. And things like that, or they'll blame the kid for that. Or there's all kinds of things that happen. And to me, it's like, if we can clear all of that misconception and then recognize the abilities of everybody, people have remarkable abilities, remarkable senses of things, abilities to communicate with animals, you know, or have good communication with children, or nature, you know, have that sense of nature and be able to read nature. And we don't allow those things to develop in our culture. And if we did, we would just have a healthier culture, because we'd have all of those people that have these abilities contributing to this culture instead of being shut down.
That is so, so true. There was one other question I wanted to ask you that had to do with cultures. And in the U.S., the United States of America is known as being a melting pot of lots of different cultures. And I wondered if there was something that you noticed with all the people you work with in terms of openness to alternative healing, if there's some correlation to cultures that seem to influence their openness.
It's quite a bit different. Americans that live in America and have been in America are probably the most closed up. You know, when I work with people from South America or Mexico or, you know, Hispanic people, they're very open. You can just, they openly talk about this kind of thing. Even Europeans have more of that. I don't know why it's so much easier for them. They can talk about energies and things. In America, it's really, we've closed that part down. We don't talk about it. We don't act like miracles happen. We ignore all things like that. It definitely makes a huge difference. You know, I did some work in Africa. I went there for a couple of weeks and worked on it was like 1,500 kids that just live out in the,
in the
wilderness,
yeah.
Out in the bush. And there's people that help them. So I worked on them and on these kids. And for them, it was easier. They had enormous amount of trauma from what happened, but they were so in touch with their spiritual side. It's just part of their life.
Mm.
And so it was very easy to work with them on it and clear, you know, what was, you know, blocking them.
Mm.
So I would say other cultures, you know, if you have a spiritual connection, if it's part of your life and you recognize these, the non-physical world as having an effect on you, it's much easier to work on them.
And I think it's true in terms of however your family is, your family dynamics, your family tradition, how it's looked upon when you speak about your dreams, how it's looked upon when you speak about feelings you have of something that feels like it's going on in the world or is coming, or, you know, maybe that's called a premonition. Maybe it's just called you have a feeling.
Right.
And if that's accepted and if that's shared between the generations, I know in our household, we have three generations and I'm the matriarch in the design. And I make it a point to talk about my dreams. I make it a point to talk about what kinds of birds are outside the window and how the plants and the trees feel when it rains, and just try to stir imagination and stir connection to the life in all things rather than just focusing on what we learn in a book or at school or what's socially acceptable in one situation or another. I want to vote with my own life and my own interests what sustains life. And it's well beyond the material world for sure. But if your heart isn't stirred, if you're not connected with your heart to other things that also have heart, then what kind of life is it that you might be living?
That's fantastic. Yes, that's exactly right. It's like if you're coming from your mind only, you know, instead of recognizing your mind's just a tool, but really all the cultures out there, they're coming from their heart. You know, when I was in Africa, they were just coming from their heart. It wasn't they were thinking about things.
That's
they
right.
were actually just coming from that. South America is the same way. They have no problem. Even the business people can come from their heart. I remember I was in a business meeting when I was working for Hewlett Packard. I was in Germany. You know, we're all salesmen. And they were talking about how they felt that America was heartless, how they treated their homeless. I told them, I said, you know, if I was in America, I would never hear this in a sales meeting,
wow.
You know, that disturbed them, you know, when they came to America to see people on the street.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow.
Our guest today, Wayne Hoff, biospiritist.net is his website. And if you do want to give him a call for any reason, his number 831-818-6980 will do the trick. So before we run out of time, Wayne, I have been encouraging people to share with us how they envision the future. I mean, it's interesting in this conversation how often you've spoken about non-physical reality, energies. And there's a real power in setting intention. There's a real power in our thoughts and our feelings. And what we envision and hold as a possibility for the future really makes a difference. So I wonder if you would share with us what you envision for our future.
What I envision is that people are going to be, like I was just talking about, people are going to be getting in touch with their abilities. People are going to be getting in touch with this non-physical world. It's going to come back into our society. You know, after being pushed out by our scientific materialism, we're going to actually bring it back in a healthy way and not in, you know, not so much in a religious way, in a contained way, a way in which each person can actually fully express themselves, fully have a connection with their own spirit and what's true to them, and actually be able to express that. And so I see that as happening in our culture, whether it's in martial arts or yoga or work that I'm doing or work that other people are doing. I see that people are starting to get access with this other side of us. Acupuncture is getting more and more accepted, and that's an energetic medicine, you know. Even, you know, massage, you know, energetic massage, you know, knowing that. I see that coming back in our world. I see, instead of you know, I'd like to see the government change, but I don't see it changing. But I can see individuals changing. And I think if we all, you know, work to, you know, to contribute to that part, to have kids that, you know, like you, what you do with your, you know, granddaughter, taking her out and having her develop her senses and her abilities. That's the kind of thing, I think, on the individual level that will change the world, because I think people all over the world are doing it. I think it's an awakening right now. And so I see everybody that's working in these fields as contributing.
Well, I'll join you in that vision. That's a very clear and powerful one. So I appreciate people like yourself who notice a difference and make a conscious choice to live in a way that is integrous for them and for their values. And I think that's a goal. That's a goal that I have for certain. But before we run completely out of time, because our show Simple Life Radio is co-sponsored by Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, I like to find out from our guests what their favorite book of all time is. So I put that to you.
You know, when you say that, the book that I read it when I was 12 years old. My brother gave it to me. And it was The Hobbit. And
oh,
I read The Hobbit,
right,
and the Lord of the Rings series. It changed the way I looked at things. It was such an incredible world. And it was like having, you know, instead of fairy stories or something, here were like people that really had a lot of wisdom. And there was a lot of things going on. And it was another world, not the world I'm living in.
Right.
And that's probably my favorite book, you know.
That's an awesome choice.
Yeah.
And so what are you reading now?
I'm actually reading the Gnostic Bible, and this is the teachings of Jesus that didn't get into Scripture, into the Bible. There were a lot of books that didn't make it in, and in the first 300 years of Christianity, there were a lot of different varieties of Christianity. It wasn't just Christianity. There were actually what they call it is Christianities. There was a plural. They had all different versions out there.
Mm.
And so one of the versions was Gnosticism. And so I'm reading a collection of all of those Gnostic books that, you know, just weren't chosen to be in the Bible.
Well, I am so grateful that you took time to come out and talk with our listeners at Simple Life Radio. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Cynthia. I'm really glad to be here, and I really admire you and Paul and the bookstore. Maintaining a bookstore in America is not the easiest thing at the current time, and I really admire what you do, and you're a real contribution to the community, and I love the show and talking to just the regular people that make up this community.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank
so
you.
Appreciate it. I look forward to being here with you again next Saturday. For now, just keep it simple and enjoy the day.